There's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this, and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Okay. All right. The Princess Bride by S. Morgan Stern, Chapter 1. Welcome to What Am I Watching? The movie podcast from the Hollow Nine Network. Tonight, we will be discussing, finally, after much, much teasing and talking about for the entirety of the first year of Hollow Nine's existence, The Princess Bride. If you couldn't tell from my incredibly poor Peter Falk impression. I'm Dave the Clone, and tonight, with me on this journey, are Gomez Not Adams.
Hello!
And Sean Fangirless.
Hello! Yes, I've returned.
Right. She's still here. Still part of the Hollow Nine.
It's been a while.
But this was like the one movie that we absolutely could never do without Sean.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was like going to whine and cry if they did it. So,
so we're doing it. And already there's controversy because we thought there were multiple books. This is the... Is it Richard Donner who did this? Or was it Reitman?
Rob Reiner. Rob Reiner directed. William Goldman wrote the book and did the screenplay.
There's the segue. So who's S. Morgan Stern? Where did this guy come from?
S. Morgan Stern is a fictional construct. So... Clone's like, oh god,
already
we've, major.
We've added the word construct to a Princess Bride conversation. Oh my god, it's Rome world.
Basically what William Goldman did was he wrote a book, but then he pretended that he was editing somebody else's older book.
And
so he acted like this was like the book that his grandfather had always always read to him.
Is this how
that he had cut out bits and pieces of?
This is how he got the movie sold. Is that the deal?
I have no idea. Well, I think he sold it because he said, "Hey, I'm the guy that wrote Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Here's a script."
See, and that was at the beginning of the book that I had read.
He tried
to get his son to read it, and it was like in the original, and it was like in Finnish.
Yeah, exactly. So I did not realize.
I thought that was just him like rewriting, and I did not realize that that was actually part of the story.
Yes.
Well, it's part of the fake story, kind of. I mean, it's part of the mystique.
It's using that whole framing device of like the story that within the story, and yes, I'm telling you part of the story, but you're only getting the abridged part. I'm cutting out the 4 pages of luggage.
I remember that.
He's turning it from the George R. R. Martin classics to the show we know and love as Game of Thrones. For an 8-year-old kid playing sick to stay home from school.
With less boobs and decapitation.
True, right. Because apparently he doesn't like any of that kissing. He's like, wait till you're a teenager, kid. You're going to love this shit. You're going to want to hear all about that dick going up in there. But okay, you're sick, humor you. Welcome to The Princess Bride, an adult film.
I feel like when you watch this movie, too, it's almost like the two movies. The actual story with The Princess Bride, I feel like, holds up and it doesn't look dated. But obviously, when you have the grandfather-grandson moments, you can tell. I mean, you have him wearing like the old Chicago Bears uniform and the He-Man. I mean,
and
he had a Beast Man back there.
Original
Nintendo. He was playing Atari.
I thought that was original was it, Nintendo football.
Was it Nintendo?
I don't know. I'll back it up right now and check.
And then just, like, the posters. And I just, I'm telling you, like, the He-Man characters were the funniest to me. I'm like, oh, my God, there's Beast Man. It's like I remember those little toys.
It's Nintendo
baseball. Incredibly, incredibly young Fred Savage.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And isn't it the mom from Malcolm in the Middle, too, who comes in and... Well, I'll tell you that in a second, too, because she's about to come in and check on it. And close up, please. Is it?
I don't think so. I feel
it looks kind of like her, but it's not her.
Okay. It's like I feel like that.
I wanted to be like, fuck yes, unless this is another Mandela. It could be a Mandela effect, and I could be remembering the original version, and this is the replaced universe version where it was a different person. But that's for Conspiracy Cast, coming next year from Hollow Nine.
I feel like just the time that this was released, that would have been like way too early for...
She's too young for that.
Jane, what's her name, Jane Kaczmarczyk?
I don't know. Well, I just call her Malcolm's mom.
In what this was that?
It's in the
Betsy,
action.
Betsy Brantley in this.
Is she in anything else, or was this her only claim to fame?
She was in Dark Angel. She was in Tour of Duty as Dr. Jennifer Seymour. She did a brief stint in Beauty and Beast, the Ron Perlman.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Back in the day.
Maybe we'll do a podcast about that show someday.
What else was she that we would know?
Well, all of her hardcore fans out there just creamed their pants that we mentioned that much. So I think we could all...
And evidently she was the performance model for Jessica Rabbit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Now that is pretty badass. Or maybe not. I don't know. She was just She's the one on set doing all the physical stuff, like if someone had to dance with Jessica Rabbit.
Yes,
she was the one that they would dance to that they drew over. Back in the day when they still drew cartoons. So back in the day when Fred Savage was still a little kid and not a producer-director like he is now, and when Peter Falk was still alive, he played Fred Savage's grandfather, which is one of those things that until the movie starts, I always, like, when it starts on a shot of the Nintendo baseball game, I'm like, what the oh, yeah, that's right. This is a story that a guy's telling to somebody else, even though basically, like, 95% of the movie is, like, medieval times and shit.
Exactly.
I just really like how it all starts, because it just seems really sweet. You have, the grandfather come over because the kid's sick, and of course he's all put out. He's like, fine, I'll try to stay awake for grandpa.
Yeah, even though he's like, yeah, I'm about to win the World Series. Like, I'm playing Nintendo. Do you not get that this is why I wanted to stay home? Like, it's clear that I'm not even pretending to be sick that much. You know what I mean? I was a little warm. I kept my head under the covers right before you came in. I felt warm. You fell for it. Just let me play my video game.
Leave me alone.
And you have to, like, really kind of throw in the extra work. Like, all right, I'll let Grandpa read to me. Jesus. And then it turns out to be, like, a story he can't get enough of because it's got action, adventure, monsters, wizards, romance, everything. Yeah, the guy who would eventually be running Homeland is looking for the six-fingered man.
It's great when you look at this cast, because when you look at them now, you're thinking, like, really? They meshed so well before? Because, like, you've seen Mandy Patinkin in so many kind of, like,
Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
And Homeland now. But I think he said Criminal Minds freaked him out. Like, when you look at this, it's like, yeah, it's because you were Inigo Montoya, man. You were, like, wholesome back in the day.
And you have, like, Christopher Guest, who's been in, like, some... really outrageous kind of comedy spoofy thing,
and the voice of, like, so many characters on The Simpsons, right.
And then Andre the Giant. Like, who would have thought Andre the Giant acting in something other than wrestling? And I loved him as Fezzik.
I actually thought of him only as Fezzik. I felt like once he was in this movie, I, as a kid, totally, like, just zoned away from the wrestling. Not really into WWF when I was little.
I think part of that as well was that at the time he was such a heel in wrestling too.
Yeah, like you weren't supposed to like him. Yeah, he was with all the bad guys too. Like which I don't even feel like we should say half the character names because they were probably a little politically incorrect back then. It was okay. Apparently, it's gonna be okay again. But what's it called? Yeah, he was never super likable. And even this, there was a moment where you're kind of like, at the beginning, I guess they all were sort of bad guys, him and Mandy Patinkin, when we first kind of get into the adventure side of the story. Because it does very much start off as like a love story. And as much as the kid in the movie, I remember being little watching this going like, all right, what the hell? Because I remember when my when my mom and my grandma, they were like, they were kind of like the two people who watched the most movies, I guess. They were kind of the ones that set me on the journey here of being this crazy movie addict. And I remember getting this sense from them that this movie was like a big deal and it was important. And I felt like either we were watching it at the same time that everybody else was on home video, like maybe it just came out and the whole town went out and bought it or whatever. But it just, it felt like they had also seen it like a bunch of times, like it was like this classic already to them, even though it was probably brand new at the time that when it came out. And so I guess when we watched it, I felt like it was like a, like, oh man, I better pay attention to this whole thing. Kind of like the kid in the movie. A little parallel action there.
There you go.
It does kind of have that classic feel, though, because you have like the love story in the beginning with, you have, you know, Buttercup.
God,
who, first of all, when they're showing it, all I can think of is like, who the hell's the father, or, you know, anybody else from the family?
Like, who agreed on Buttercup? Like, who's, yep, we're naming her Buttercup. You, when you were born, you looked like a cup full of butter. That's basically what I saw.
How drunk were you?
Buttercup. That's how drunk I was. What? We named her Buttercup? Shit. Well, sorry.
Well.
I'm going to go ahead and disappear from this story now and let her grow up falling in love with a guy who's going to go and get pulled off to...
Wait, what you don't know is that Buttercup murdered her parents for that day. Out of the garden.
That would be the prequel if this was being rebooted today. It's like, what happened to her parents? I don't know, man. Where's her pops, yo? He's going to show up in the last reel somewhere. Eyes gouged out, teeth knocked in.
You should never have named me Buttercup!
Yeah, I don't know. I still...
Well, that took a dark turn.
It's a good thing she was hot, though, because every guy still wanted her. And first of all was Wesley, the stable boy. Why did Wesley leave? What pulled him away? Was there a war? Well,
the farm boy was going off to make his way so he can marry Buttercup and provide for her later.
And exactly. He was off to make his fortune.
Yes.
While he was off making his fortune, though, his ship came under attack by the dread pirate Roberts, whom even Buttercup knew left no prisoners alive. That's pretty cool, Grandpa. I love the little asides coming in the voiceover. Yeah, yeah, that's just wonderful. Now shut up.
Don't interrupt Columbo.
Exactly. Excuse me, one more thing. Did you want to hear the rest of this story? Just one more question. Where was the last time you saw Buttercup? She was riding her horse along the river between our here and Florin, or were they... Where were they again? Florin is where they were from, and they were Gilder. They were setting up Gilder.
Yes. I believe so.
Yeah. It almost feels like when you're at Medieval Times and that whole opening segment, the guy's like, hey, you're all from these different... And you're like, just shut the fuck up, get the chicken out here, and you guys start killing each other with swords. Like, I'm not really... The names don't matter so much. Just show good guys, bad guys. The music is telling you what you need to know. It's like, Buttercup, good guy. The three guys attacking her in the woods, bad guys.
Bad guys. Wallace Shawn, with the best line, because it's just said over and over... It's not even a line, just this word.
Inconceivable!
And I just love it.
Is he still alive? He's still alive.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I do not think that word means what you think it means.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not paying you to think. Oh, man.
I love they get on the boat after they capture her because, of course... You know, the prince seen her and was overcome by her beauty and decided to take her away. And then, well, lo and behold, it turns out that the prince is kind of a douche.
Yeah, I guess we kind of skipped over that part that, like, he picked her among the commoners to be his... That's what they—that's what they do.
For his false flag operation.
They do that in Trump's floor in there. You just, you know, every once in a while the royalty's like, and one of you shall be raised up to my level. And, of course... After mourning the loss of Wesley, she was like, fuck it, whatever, I'll become royalty. Okay.
my will to live is dead.
Dear God, I might as well kill myself in the lap of luxury. If I'm gonna exactly. go out, I'm going out in style, guys.
Oh my gosh.
By setting off a war between Florin and Gilder.
And in case you couldn't tell, we're recording this at the tail end of 2016.
Dear God, it's the darkest view ever. Even the Princess Bride is like, yeah, man, we can't. The movie itself is talking to me from the case in the drawer going, yeah, dude, listen, we used to work wonders. Like, we would cure diseases watching this movie. Now, I don't know. Don't know if I can make that promise. It's like Will Smith driving around at the end of Bad Boys 2 going, I could say it's going to be okay, but that'd be some bullshit today. All right, and that's kind of how Princess Bride's trying to hold up. I mean, at least it kind of reminds us we're going to have to, you know, take things into matters into our own hands and learn to become our own Dread Pirate Roberts along the way here to survive.
And I will say, I mean, as much as I love this movie, some of the special effects do not hold up.
Yeah. Okay, well, I felt like they kind of made them cheesy.
On purpose?
Like, on purpose. Yeah.
Well, the fact
because, like, the screaming eels.
Yeah.
Okay, the eels, the R-O-U-S's, even the Cliffs of Insanity, watching
the
them go
The Cliffs
off,
like, of Insanity!
Oh, my God.
Tell where the cuffs
go
are.
Go left! The other left!
The eels, I felt like it was totally on purpose. The R-O-S's, I felt like that was also on purpose.
That you and could then tell it's a little
Cliffs of Insanity, I felt like they tried with that.
I just felt like it was a Disney ride. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, you know, it's fake, and some of it looks awesome, some of it looks all right, whatever. It's worth the $10 billion
you're not
a minute
watching this for the effects.
Right, it's not Star Wars.
Thank
it's not Rogue One. It's Rogue negative point a billion.
Shut up. This was a good one. I like
it. At the same time, I will say there's something for the fact of nostalgia. When I watch it, I remember being a little kid watching it, thinking like, oh, shit, that thing looks like a giant rat, like a rodent of unusual size. I'm down. Exactly. I am horrified by the idea of that, you know. And actually, it's really funny. The lightning sand, the sort of dry quicksand that they fall in,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and then have to climb their way out of. Well, like, she falls in and he dives in after her with a vine. Lots happens. We're going all out of order. I'm sure you can tell. If you haven't watched the movie before now, probably a bad idea. Pause
you
this.
You might want to go watch.
Go do movie. That. Come back. It'll be fine. You'll figure out what the hell we've been talking about all this time. If not, stay along for the ride. Watch it later. If you're on your commute to work going, fuck, I really wish I was home watching Princess Bride. Pull out the Netflix on the commute home and watch Princess Bride there. You can download from Netflix now. Netflix, who does not sponsor us, but should. I remember my little sister was horrified for some reason of the moment when they come out of the sand and he does this, like, deep breath.
Oh, that huge gasp.
Yeah.
His face and the sound of it, for some reason, my little sister and I... Julie or Laurel. I think it was Julie, but I feel like it was also could have been Laurel. Laurel was the one who was scared of, like, everything at first. Anyway, one of you two, hopefully you're listening to this, let me know which one it was. We'll keep the audience at home apprised of the fact that I kind of sort of remember my family history. But oh yeah, God. Like that I thought was like, it still looked, you know, it looked like it was insane. I thought the stuff looked pretty. I'm a fan of practical effects, you know what I mean? And the fact that
absolutely.
This existed in a world that felt real because of the fact that they probably built a part of a, you know, fire swamp and all those trees and shit, you know, it was a real vine.
That was live flame.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, they had to really stab an R-O-U-S. It's like, we had to kill people when we made movies back then. You just don't tell them it's going to happen. But, hey, fuck, it looks so real!
I will flat out admit that this is the movie that got me into fencing.
Ooh, really? Wait, you fence?
Yes, I did.
For
a number of years. I did foil. And then I actually got to do some historic rapier.
Oh, you gotta watch I Love You, Man.
But like, so during the whole scene when the man in black who we discover is the Dread Pirate Roberts, who we discover is Wesley,
right? Yeah, fights, I guess we should.
Inigo.
Yeah, we should back up a little bit. Yeah,
I love the fight scene.
She's kidnapped by these three guys, and they're being followed while they're on the water by who they assume must be the Dread Pirate Roberts, because there's only one of him, and he's following all of them. And yes, it does turn out to be the Man in Black, the Dread Pirate Roberts. And he fights during his first fight. That's what we know him as. And that first fight is with Inigo Montoya.
And they go back, when they have the whole dialogue back and forth, regarding the different fighting masters, fencing masters. Those were actual fencing masters.
I was going to say, those all those names that they're dropping, like, exactly. But if I prefer Capifaro, and it's like, oh my god.
You're using defense against me. I thought I could fit in during the rocky terrain. Naturally, you expect me to attack with Capifaro. Naturally, but I find that the bolt cancels out Capifaro, don't you? Unless the enemy has studied
his Agrippa, which I have.
I actually studied actual Capifaro and Agrippa as part of the rapier classes, which look nothing like this.
Oh my god.
All they're doing is flinning.
This
is pure flinning. Beach combat.
Oh, okay. Is that Errol Flynn?
They hold their, yeah, exactly. Okay. So basically, you hold your blade out and let the other guy knock it around as opposed to actually trying to attack each other. So this looks nothing like how actual fencing looks at all.
Like, isn't fencing supposed to not be all these strikes? It's supposed to be like you hit the sword out of the way and stab the guy. Like, that's how you score the point.
Or even better, not even hit the sword at all and just bypass it
and hit the guy. Okay. Like, if you actually go to like a real... So one of my camera guys, Mike Tracy, shout out, his son Doug was like a fencing master. Like, that's, he had scholarships to colleges to fence. He fenced all over the world. And so he was kind of describing it to us, and we were like, so all these, he goes, yeah, dude, they draw those things out in movies. It's like insane. Like, no one would sword fight like that. That shit would take an hour. Like, you're exactly. in the middle of a fucking war. And you're like, tush, tush, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Like,
and you would be, your arm would fall off after like two people.
Because the swords were not light. I mean, not all the swords were rapier. Like, rapiers are like super light and flimsy-ish, right? Because
But even so, you're fighting with a 3 foot long or 4 foot long piece of steel that probably weighs between 3 and 4 pounds, which might not seem like that much right now. Now, hold your arm out for an extended period of time holding a 3 pound weight that extends out another 3 feet.
Yeah.
Your arm's going to get tired.
And suffers from momentum if it's hit.
Exactly, and repetitive movement and everything else. The other thing that you don't really get with fencing is that you're also moving your feet constantly.
Oh wow!
So it's like doing wind sprints while you're trying to play chess.
Oh my gosh!
It's quite a dance.
And now
you guys
have a whole technical thing that you didn't know about before. There you go. Of course, you also don't have anybody like doing anything on the uneven bars and.
He does do a
landing.
Flip.
Oh, which was a beautiful use of the stunt double, let me say.
Of which, both of them. But, I mean, the one that you really could tell, Mandy Patinkin, you're like, that is not him.
No. The flips over the bars, come on. You could definitely tell that was not Cary Elwes.
Oh, I'm sure. But, you know, at least the one with Mandy Patinkin has to look a little bit more like Mandy Patinkin. I'm like, he gained like 30 pounds between those two cuts.
Or where he throws the sword and it cuts immediately to the sword sticking in the ground.
Yeah, like, thing. Like,
it's
sure.
You just didn't cut away and then plant the sword in the ground there.
That's how we do. That's how we do, man. Stop letting them peek behind the curtain too much.
That's part of the fun.
Back in the day. Nowadays, it'd all be digital. There is no sword. It's like the fucking Matrix. There is no spoon.
Let's not talk about them redoing this and doing digital crap.
Are they?
Horrible. No, I hope not. I don't know. You know what? They've talked about redoing so many movies.
Knock on wood on that.
I hope.
My one hope then would be that they would cast an actual Spaniard.
Yeah. Or Russell Crowe, because people mistook him for one.
Not Gladiator.
Gladiator.
No. Replayed the Spaniard. Like, dude, no.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Good Lord.
I have a great story about going to see that in the movies with my parents, and these people in the row behind us totally not understanding that. Like, the Spaniard thing threw them off so fucking much that we started making fun of them, like, to their faces. I was just like, oh, my God, help me. Okay, anyway.
Now, I will admit that I have. There's a warm place for that movie in my heart because he's the Spaniard.
Of course, dude. Come on, Gladiator is awesome. Gladiator is awesome.
You're killing me. Bring it back to Princess Bride.
Well,
we're in a whole different genre. Bring it back now.
Well, that's what more like the sword fighting would have probably been like is Gladiator. I'm like, hey, you're dead.
I will say that briefly sticking with Gladiator. Gladiator has some of the best sword and shield fighting that you'll see on screen.
Okay.
And actually, like, legitimate. I mean, the other parts of it, hell no. That part of it, yes, I will give them credit for that.
So they got that right over there, but here they kind of
the double crossbow loading flipping thing. No.
Oh yeah, that was kind of cool.
But do they have giants over there
who can
that are
throw,
willing to crush you?
I can throw a boulder like from off screen and it shatters against the rock it hits.
No, Andre the Giant. Sorry.
But I know something you don't know. I am not left-handed.
I actually love that line. And it's like, ha ha ha.
I know something
I.
you don't know either. I'm not left-handed either.
I'm like, that just, it's stupid, but it works so well.
It's an iconic moment. Definitely.
Very much so.
Everybody remembers that moment. And it was that. It was like stuff like that. Like, I remember my grandma was always a little bit of a spoiler alert because she'd be like, oh, watch this, you know? And it's like, I'm like, oh, how did she know that was going to happen? That, I think she and my mom must have seen it in the theater or something like that. And so they're like, oh, we got to get this for the kids when we go.
And then poor Nego gets his head bashed.
Kill me quickly. I would sooner just shatter. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I didn't want to step on your line. You go ahead.
No, because I'll probably screw it up. But yes, I would sooner destroy a work of us.
A stainless
window.
But since I can't have you following me either.
Yeah,
just knocks him out. The Dread Pirate Roberts already let somebody
leave. I still think one of my lines that I like was always like, who are you? Note of consequence. I must know. Get used to
disappointment.
You know what? I totally found my father's killer. I can live with not knowing who you are.
Okay.
I love the fight scene, though, with Andre the Giant. Because I found out, I mean, reading trivia on this, Andre actually had, like, a bad back. So he couldn't actually do any lifting or anything. So a lot of them had to be put on wires to fight him.
Huh.
And so, you know, you got the fight scene where
he's on his
fire
back.
Wire. Yeah. Dread Pirate Roberts is on his back and like fighting him, and you know I love it because he's like, I'm used to fighting multiple people, and he like can't reach him because his arms, you know, he's so small on his back, and it's like, that has to be my fighting style because there's no way I can actually come to somebody face to face.
It's funny, like all their confrontations, the dialogue is all about like how they're fighting each other. You know what I mean? And he's like, you know, why do you wear a mask? Was your face burned with acid or something like that? And he goes, no, I just like that. I think that's good for the, you know.
It's very comfortable.
I think everyone will be wearing them in the future. And then he's like, you're marvelous. Oh, no, that was the other guy said, you're marvelous.
Yeah. But
he says, you're wonderful. Well, thanks. And he's like, you know, I'm trying to hold my weight against someone of your size.
He's like, he just got him in like a sleeper hold. And finally, Fezzik.
It's like, why are you? It's like, I don't want you to feel bad. You feel like you're actually doing something before I pummel you into the ground.
Or like he was just like, sportsmanlike. Yeah, he was very like, he's like, I could have killed you. I don't need to miss, you know, when he throws the rock together.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so you against me, no weapons, I am so gonna die.
Oh, my God intended. Sportsmanlike. Holy shit.
I love when he takes him down, though, and he's like, I do not envy you the headache you will have when you awake, but for now, dream of large women.
Yeah. Now, sleep well. And dream of large women.
And it's just so corny, but I love it because, you know,
and then he
so
gets
far we've learned about the Dread Pirate Roberts and there's no survivors. And it's like, wait a minute.
He's let two people live so far.
Exactly.
Is it like, have they been the people two, he's... Oh, go ahead.
Two people who've actively tried to kill him, he's let live.
Yeah, but it's almost like I was thinking that was kind of maybe like, these are his respected opponents. He's like, anyone else I've come across has not even been remotely this interesting or even this skilled. You know what I mean? And it's kind of just like, maybe, I don't know. I was too young to think ahead that he might recruit them later or anything like that. I just thought it was sort of like, he's a good guy. Maybe he's not even the Dread Pirate Roberts. Maybe he's not who they think he is. I just didn't think he would turn out to be Wesley, other than recognizing his voice and chin. Because I still don't understand how just covering the top of your face is enough for people to not be like, dude, I know your mouth. I know that's you.
Yeah, okay. So you knew him as the farm boy in the backwoods who only ever saw Buttercup.
As a kid? Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's clearly him.
I know that, but I'm just saying that everybody else would be like, why would they even know who Wesley was?
Oh, right. Well, obviously, you know, yeah, for the rest of the world, the mask is important. As we find when he gets to Vicini, the third, it's like he gets victory music after each win. It's like a video game.
Yes.
And then there's the danger music when he arrives at the next level. The iocane powder. I love this.
So then we have Count Rugen and the prince show up.
Oh, we're just skipping over Vizzini and everything there.
Actually, they show up before Vizzini does.
Yes, because...
We see them in chase. I got you.
Yeah, that's Humperdinck right. And...
Oh, God. Prince Humperdinck.
Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck. A.K.A. Jack Skellington.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
And I love it. He's like, there was a great duel here. And he's jumping around in the footprints.
He's like stepping in the footprints. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, really?
I'm completely erasing the tracks. Yeah. Aha.
Like the victor followed those tracks towards the mountains, while this one fled that way back towards Gilder.
Now, was anybody else bothered by the fact that Vizzini just happened to have a picnic packed?
Yeah, it's sort of like this is a little
he was
convenient.
Hungry.
This is a little
with the
convenient.
Bottle of wine all set to go. I mean, we didn't see him carrying any of that.
True. True.
Maybe he strapped it on her back.
It's a very baggy shirt he has, though. It's one of those.
Where did
like,
you keep those? These are awfully baggy pants.
Yeah. Okay,
have you seen the size of my sleeves?
They were like original cargo pants, okay?
Yeah.
He's able to put stuff everywhere.
He definitely could hide that knife like that he put to her throat right away.
I love it when they get... I'm saying that I just love this movie. But when they get to him and... You know, he's like, please, if you want her dead, by all means, continue advancing.
Moving forward.
And he's like, you know, puts a knife a little harder to her throat.
Yeah.
He's like, well, because Vizzini throws out that you could never, you know, match my brains. And he's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do this. Hold on a second.
I've got some iocane powder.
It's like, you've bested my Spaniard, which means you must be very skilled with a sword. But you've also bested my giant, which means you're very brave. But you could never beat me, my mind. It was just like, whoa, dude. Like, where is this coming from? And how did you make a sandwich? And keep her tied up. You guys were chilling here. Like, I know he's going to beat the other two guys. He's going to get to me. That's how this is.
I'm feeling a little peckish.
I have some cheese, might as well salted meat.
He's like, I knew he would beat those other guys. I really just wanted you for myself anyway. That's kind of what I was going for. Because I'm Vizzini. How else am I going to get this?
And I'm a smug bastard.
Oh my gosh, that is an understatement.
You made one of the two classic blunders. the well-known...
Never came off in Asia.
Only slightly less well-known is never going against a Sicilian when death is on the line. So this exists on Earth because... Is Florin a real place?
Asia.
Is Florin a real place?
It's actually... The countries are based off of Dutch currencies.
Because I saw a map earlier today on Facebook of all the mythical lands. I think it was Peter Dinklage's page had it up. And it was like Westeros, Middle Earth, like basically all of the big continents.
Florin and Gilder.
And Florin was somewhere like a little island. So I don't know. Yeah. I just assumed it was part of the fantasy world.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, they like to mix it up, you know. They'll throw in Sicilian and Asia.
Except we've got the Sicilian and the Spaniard.
Yeah. And what's it called?
Which, let me tell you, that is definitely backfired. Like, don't you trust me? And they look at me like, do I have to say it?
Yeah. Like, I have, ever since I saw this movie, I'm like, how do you develop an immunity to something like that? In, like the iocane powder. And my mom, when I was little, she was like, well, you just take a little bit of it, and it's going to make you sick. And then you get better, and you take a little bit more, and it's going to make you more sick. You get better, and slowly you can take more and more, and eventually you become immune to it. And I'm like, so can we just do this with any poison? Like, I was like, why don't you just become immune to all the poisons? Like, I was like, how do we... I'm amazed.
That's also how you learn to drink gin.
Amazed that I didn't wind up trying this because it just didn't seem like that made enough sense. But I was like, I guess you could start like eat one apple seed and you'll probably feel really bad. But don't apple seeds have like strychnine in them or
arsenic?
Yeah,
strychnine, whatever.
Please, like you have. Come on, you haven't swallowed an apple seed when you were little.
I'm sure I must have at least one or two.
I was always told if I did that though, I'd like have a tree grow out of my stomach, so I was like deathly afraid.
I was just told they were poison. Don't eat them. And I'm like, well, why are we able to eat the rest of the apple then? I don't know. Why does something edible have something poison in the middle of it? That's fucking insane. But apparently,
it doesn't want you to actually eat the seeds.
It's how it works. It's how it works. So, yeah, don't ever trust a Sicilian when death is on the line, or a Dread Pirate Roberts. This is the first person he kills, actually.
It is.
It is, but it's kind of Vizzini's fault.
Well,
that's because Vizzini was a smug bastard and deserved to die.
But Wesley poisoned both glasses.
He did.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it yet.
I mean, the movie does a very good job, though, setting up even before that, you know, Inigo and Fezzik are essentially good-hearted people in a bad line of work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vizzini is just an asshole.
He's like a true criminal, while the other two guys are like, this is really like all I could do. He's like, you know, I kind of fell into this. The revenge business, you know, doesn't make you rich. And
I needed to get work somehow.
Well, yeah, I mean, at one point, Vizzini's like, you know, when I found you, you were so drunk, you couldn't order...
You couldn't buy brandy! And you, hopeless, useless, you want
unemployed!
To... In Greenland!
So, yeah, I mean, you can see the difference between those two. And then, of course, the rhyming and, like, the fun that they're having. And Vizzini is just kind of like...
He's that boss.
No more rhymes, now I mean it!
Anybody want a peanut? Ah! Oh, I actually like that part in the book because they go on and on about how he's always rhyming.
Yeah.
Vizzini is the stop having fun guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Miss Hannigan of the
I think everybody has one of those.
Do
in their
I
job.
Hear happiness in here?
Yeah, yep. I really think we have one of those in every job, so.
Yeah. We want to kill them, but we don't. Because we value laws and society.
And we don't want to go to prison.
There's that, too. Yeah, every movie I've seen about that has really made it look like not that much fun at all.
As much as I'd like to get caught up by reading, no.
I mean, seriously, I would rather go to this torture chamber that the Count Rugen has under that.
No, it's like, no, just go on. Take the years off the end of my life.
Go ahead.
Those are going to be the sucky years anyway.
Put it up to 50, please, right now. Let's just get this over with. It was like an ancient version of an electric chair, I guess, is kind of what he wanted.
It wasn't even that, though. It was like a water pump that was sucking the life out of them.
Yeah. So we don't have an actual sort of scientific, realistic analog for what was happening there. It's just, you know, no, he said it was sucking the life out of him, so it was sucking the life out of him.
Yeah, well.
Pick the comment section of your choice.
Yeah.
And have you spend like an hour just reading those comments. And you might not
it's
have a
kind
bad
of the
help.
Same thing, yeah.
True.
Yeah.
I just remember being little watching that happen, you know, so eventually when Wesley does get captured after they're in the fire swamp, after saving her in the fire swamp, that's where Humperdinck catches up with both he and Buttercup. He's revealed himself to Buttercup, and she's, oh my god, I can't believe you're actually Wesley. Holy shit, I thought you were dead. And I'm like, you know, I'm betrothed to this fucking douchebag, and what are we going to do? And as they're asking that, he shows up. And instead of sending him home, they send him to this dungeon torture place where Christopher Guest, the six-fingered man, that Inigo Montoya is looking for.
Yes, as it all comes full circle.
Oh, man, the web is so tightly woven.
except the part that always bothered me was that, so they hear, when Inigo and Fezzik hear him being tortured, hear him screaming, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, that's the sound of a soul being tortured. It must be the Man in Black. How the hell did he know that? I mean, where did he make that?
His true love marries tomorrow. You know what I mean?
But how did they never knew that the Man in Black was the true love of the princess, of Buttercup.
Well, I think...
Why else is he going to be chasing after Buttercup?
Isn't that when Fezzik finds Inigo, once this all happens, once Buttercup is back in Humperdinck's hands, months are going by, the wedding's being prepared, Wesley, who he supposedly sent home... You know, he told her that he would send word to Wesley, and if he still wanted her, he would come get her, and he would send his four fastest ships to the corners of his, empire and find this guy. And when they get no word, he's like, so we'll just, you know, go ahead with the wedding. So I think somehow, like, Fezzik got the entire story, because when he finds Inigo in the thieves' forest, which was being emptied for the king's wedding, Oh, yeah, Humperdinck's dad dies, and he becomes king. That's what also pushes the wedding forward, too. He, Peter Falk's voiceover says that, Fezzik tells Inigo everything about the man in black and the princess and da-da-da-da and the death of Vicini. And that's when, he just kind of, passes out face first in the food. And then he has to
He took it surprisingly well.
And then he just dunks, and, he's doing the dunk in the hot water, dunk in the cold water, dunk in the...
Let's face it, they were both cold water.
Gonna fucking murder somebody. I'm like, I'm just basically drowning you. I'm drowning you. Wake up.
Go away, or I'll call the brute squad. I am the brute squad.
You are the brute squad. But I love it. He's like, that's enough! That's enough! And you're like, okay, dude, yes, that's sobering me up, and I'm watching. My God. This is what they used to do in medieval times. I know, because I was just there for dinner the other night. It was awesome. It was so good. It was the shit.
God.
And I woke up with this horrible cold the next day. But that show was worth it. And so that's when they decide. They're like, we have to go find him. And as they're looking for him is when doesn't she go and check with Humperdinck one more time? Any word from Wesley? And he says no, and then he goes, so tomorrow night we'll get married, and then every ship in my armada will, escort us on our honeymoon. And she goes, well, every ship but the four fastest, right? It's one of those...
He's like, what?
Are you really this dumb, dude? How do you not know how to keep your shit together like this? Why do you slip up? Why do you slip up on these details?
He doesn't care.
He knows where Wesley is, and Wesley was not gone away to his ship. He was in... the dungeon.
Oh, what was his name? What was the ship's name? We turned him to his ship blank. She says the name of his ship, too. Fuck, it was a cool ship, too.
Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on the name of the ship?
Ah, yes, the Google machine. Kick it into full effect.
Princess Bride ship. It was not the Revenge, though. That
it was.
Yeah, it was. It was the Revenge.
Yeah, it was the Revenge.
That. No. Oh, yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, man.
Because
he made this movie badass, The Dread Pirate Roberts.
Well, because the reason why I did not think it was The Revenge was because the pirate Blackbeard, the actual historic pirate Blackbeard, his ship was the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Oh, so this is a very on-the-nose nod to that? Or
yes. Oh, that would be my... Otherwise, they just say, hey, what would be a cool name for a pirate ship? I'm the Revenge.
Because it was something his ship, the Revenge, is always seen around this part of the world this time of year. We'll send my four fastest ships to find him, signal him, and see if he wants to marry. It's just why would you expect the dude to actually do this? So I marry you if he says no, right? Okay, don't fucking send that message. Just go lock that asshole up downstairs. We're going to fucking kill that guy. Yeah. Okay, sure. We'll send that shit. This isn't 2016. There's no email. Messages take literally half a year to get someplace. Sure. Yeah, why not?
And he's totally not banging some wench in a port somewhere.
Oh, dear God. Well, this is a PG-13 movie, or PG movie at that, I think.
I think this was the last of the PG.
The
last? No, no, no.
The last of the PG.
No, I say that for a very specific reason. Because of Inigo's line in the movie,
oh,
I want
son
my
of
father
a bitch.
Back, you son of a bitch.
Oh.
Wow.
I kind of forgot about that, because it just, rolls in...
It's justified. It's so justified.
It is, very much so. But I think this was, I think, and I could be wrong, and I'm willing to be wrong about this, but this was rated PG, but I want to say when PG-13 came in right after this.
Because they were like, we got to do something about this. We got a whole bunch of 12-year-olds running around saying, son of a bitch now.
Even though not knowing what it means.
Even though The Simpsons, I think, used it as well.
Did they?
Twice. Definitely when Mr. Burns was Dracula. Which was way after this, but...
What year, though?
That was sometime in the 90s. It was
this was 87.
This is 80, yeah.
Okay, I take that back. PG-13 started in 84.
Oh.
Okay, and that was because of Temple of Doom. Because Indiana Jones and Temple of Doom was rated PG.
And they show somebody's still beating heart get ripped out of their chest.
The monkey brains, and let's just keep going.
Yeah, we traumatized the whole generation with that movie, too.
That traumatizes me every time, because that just grosses me out.
This is kind of the polar opposite of that.
The first film, just a little bit of extra for movie trivia people out there, Red Dawn, the original with Patrick Swayze.
Nice.
Oh my God.
The first film to be released with the PG-13 rating.
Nice. And I think there's boobies in that. So, well done, guys, pushing the limits from the get-go. Hell yeah.
But I almost wonder if this would still get the PG rating in this day and age. I feel like they've been pushing. There's a lot of push and pull between the different ratings.
It feels very almost Disney-ized clean. You know what I mean? Like, the son of a bitch is even like you said, Sean, it kind of like you almost don't even register it because it's like everything else about the movie is squeaky clean. You know what I mean? Like,
right, there's no blood.
He even calls them breasts later, you know? I mean, I guess the only thing he could have said that would have been cleaner is bosom. There's a shortage of perfect bosoms in this world. Please don't ruin yours. You know what I mean? It's like so clean that when he says that, you almost as the audience feel like, yeah, you motherfucker, kill that guy's dad. Kill that guy's dad in front of him and expect him not to come and do this to you. Yeah, he wants his dad back, you son of a bitch. Like, I'll give you some.
And that's even a better reason for this not to be remade.
Oh my God! Like
if they did, they would push that more,
and the grandfather would have less effect. The grandfather would be FaceTiming to tell the story, and
right?
The kid would still be playing a video game behind it on his smartphone.
Yeah. So, but no, I think as far as it goes, as a period piece, it worked for the 80s period. It works really well.
Yeah, for the 80s period, doing a medieval times movie, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Like, it is. It's like. To me, it falls in with the same types of movies like Time Bandits. You know what I mean? Like, they have that sort of look and feel of, like, when filmmaking was just about to hit its super, super golden modern age, and, like, they were getting away with finding ways to build all these places. It's also why movies took, like, forever to make. You know what I mean? Because they would have to go build everything. Like, Star Wars was the first one that kind of broke that door down a little bit, and I thought
they still built most of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, you know, there is a big difference between watching a medieval times movie made in the 80s and then even, you know, like, I also think Highlander, you know what I mean, where even the sword fighting itself wasn't super, super focused on, and it was like the way those guys killed each other, you know what I mean? Like, but it had that sort of still look where it was almost like, how do they even find places to shoot these things and make it look like old times like that? And, you know, it's all in these, like, mountains in Europe somewhere.
And of course, Highlander had a Scotsman playing a Egyptian playing a Spaniard in Scotland.
And a Dutchman playing a Scotsman also. It was like, I think isn't, what is Christopher Lambert? He's like...
He's actually, I think he was born in the U.S., but traveled a lot.
But he was like, he was like born in the U.S. and then spent like from year 1 to year 12.
He was born on Great Neck, Long Island.
And then, but where did he grow up?
His father was a United States diplomat assigned to Switzerland.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then he's educated in Geneva.
So that's where he got his weird accent from, wherever the hell he's from. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, and actually, that worked for... And I realize we're jumping into him. That actually really worked well for Highlander. It sounds like he could be from a lot of different places. Like, what is that accent? Yeah, because I've been bouncing around for the past 300 years.
Yeah.
Every country imaginable, and then I came to New York.
Yeah, where it all began. It's like, this is
why I got out of Great Neck.
This is why the Dread Pirate Roberts came back to Florin, is because it's where it all began for him. Like, Inigo going back to the Thieves Forest. We go back to the beginning. You said go back to the beginning. This is the beginning. This is where it started. I'm waiting for this scene. Dude, this movie is so full of quotable lines and, like, famous moments like that, too.
Well, holy the biggest heck. Line we passed over at the very beginning, it's as you wish. It's the only thing that Wesley would say.
Yeah, he wouldn't respond.
Buttercup realized.
Whenever he said, as you wish, what he really said was, I love you. Oh, great shit.
It's going to be one of the stories. Blech.
Why? What are you talking about? He's like, no, this has got adventure. It's got, you know, true love. And then later when the kid was like, the kid's like, who gets Prince Humperdinck? Who gets Prince Humperdinck? And he's like, You want me to read the rest of this? I don't know. You're getting a little excited here. Maybe this is too much for you. You know? It was just like...
It's like, sit down and shut up if you want me to keep going. Exactly what Grandpa was saying.
But I love that.
Like, who's telling this story?
You want me to read the rest of this? Like, I actually remember grandparents asking me quite like that. You're like, you want to see, you want to hear the rest of this or not? And you're like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Clone, I do that to my kids now.
do you want me to read this or not? What's going on here?
It's like, am I reading this or are you?
I do that to Jason now. I'm telling him something and he breaks it. I'm like, really? Do you want to know what happened? Do you want me to finish?
I find, not on podcasts somehow, for some reason there, it feels more like natural to do the whole politeness thing, but in real life, in the middle of a conversation, like if somebody just like breaks in while I'm in the middle of saying something, and especially if it's something that's going to take it completely off track, I get like instantly furious. I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like I'm literally in the middle of a point and your mind was like, hold on this. And you're like, it's not even about what we were talking about. But
Don't have kids.
You know what? So much of life has been pointing me in that direction lately. I agree with you. I think that's kind of where I'm landing. I'm sorry, my coworker who thinks that's going to be a waste of a good potential father. Well, hey, listen, sorry. I could be a role model, maybe, I guess, to others somehow, but I'm not doing this.
Because there would be every one day, like, Clone would be in the middle of trying to say something to somebody, and his like, little kid is going to pipe up.
How do cars work? Oh, my God! This is how they work! And I just drive us off the fucking road into a goddamn tree. And then I will be the only one to survive. That would be how this world would fuck me. Like, everybody else would die. I would survive it and have amnesia so they wouldn't, like, prosecute me or something. You know what I mean? Like, some weird shit would happen. Anyway, copyright that. That's an idea for a movie. Nobody
can. There you go.
It's ours.
But yes, Chloe should not have kids.
It came up because of the Princess Bride. I want my...
Pit of despair.
The pit of despair. Don't even think.
Don't even think about trying to escape.
Chains are far too thick. I love everything about this movie. Was like, you know, it's.
What I would love to see would have loved to have been was cast director.
Oh,
like, here's your script. Yeah, go find me people. Like,
I'm like, wow, oh, wow. And I mean, a lot of these, you know. Cary Elwes, wasn't this his first movie? Robin Wright before she was Robin Wright Penn?
I think so. But I mean, you had Billy Crystal and
Carol Kane. Andre the Giant is a pretty big name, too, to be able to pull that in. Because that was like.
This was very much not his first movie.
Andre the Giant? No. Wait, no, you mean Cary Elwes?
Cary Elwes.
Oh, okay. Shit.
I mean, he wasn't anything that I read. Mashenka, Lady Jane. Oh, actually, I think I've seen Lady Jane. Is that the movie I think it is? With Helena Bonham Carter? Yes, it is.
Helena Bonham Carter. What?
That was a historic biopic of one of the queens of England. Something called The Bride in 1985.
Oh, with Sting? And,
yes, Jennifer Beals.
Yeah, that movie is fucking awesome. It's a really cool Bride of Frankenstein movie.
And what else? And then his first movie was something called Yesterday's Hero, where he's billed as disco dancer.
Yeah, I'm not gonna check that one out.
Okay, so maybe the first one that he was like a lead in.
Yeah, I feel like this maybe.
Okay,
this is
just to go back to Yesterday's Hero because I'm looking at the cast.
Oh God,
Suzanne Somers, Ian McShane.
Holy shit, really? Wow, yes. Now I do want to watch that. Just because Ian McShane's in it, man. John Wick's boss. Oh my God.
A has-been alcoholic former soccer star determines to make a comeback.
And Disco Kid in there is Cary Elwes.
Oh, man.
It's like saying, hey.
Sorry, that, I think that made my night.
Nicolas Cage was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, man. So,
okay, sorry.
So once Buttercup realizes Humperdinck has not sent the message, he goes and kills Wesley. They find his dead body and they need to resurrect him. They need to find
his, he's mostly dead.
They need to find his faction and spend 500 gold and try to bring his ass back to life.
What they really need is a miracle.
And where are we going to find the miracle? Are you that Miracle Max that used to work for the king who the king's stinking son fired?
Yeah, the king's stinking son fired me. Why would you want someone the king's stinking son fired? I might make the one you want to have the miracle die. He's already dead. All right, bring him in. You got any money? 75. Ooh, I never worked for so little. But only once, and that was for a noble cause.
This is noble. His wife is sick.
You are a terrible liar.
She's a pin in her hip. She's children starve on the brink of starvation. Aren't you a rotten liar? It's like, all right, let's see what's going on. Everything about this, too, like, they bellows a bunch of air into his lungs. And then she goes, hey, hello in there. Hey, what do you got out here that's so worth it? What do you got out here that's worth living for? And he pushes down on his chest. And it just goes...
To blaze.
You heard him. You heard him. True love. You cannot ask for a cause more noble than that. Ah, true love suddenly is the greatest thing in the world. But that's not what he said. Oh, he goes, other than a nice MLT, mutton, lettuce, and tomato. When the mutton is nice and lean and the tomatoes are perky. I love that. It's so tasty. But that's not what he said. He said... To blave, and we all know that to blave means to bluff. So you were probably playing cards, and he cheated. And then, cue Carol Kane.
Liar! Get back, witch.
Get back, witch.
I'm your wife.
But after what you just said, I'm not sure I want to be that anymore. Such a great, iconic scene. I know most of it.
Okay, I love it. You know so much of this, and you're like, I haven't seen it forever.
I literally am watching it kind of half over the shoulder while we're doing this, going, yeah, I watched it like a year ago.
Another bit of movie trivia for this. You know where that sword appears in a different movie, right? A Nego sword?
I have no idea.
Wait, isn't it in Highlander?
Nope.
Because I know there's a sword that looks very similar to it in the beginning of Highlander.
The Crow.
No shit. Is that the sword that what's his name is using at the end?
It's the sword that Top Dollar uses to kill the Top Dollar.
I still can't call him Top Dollar because I never knew that was his fucking name. I'm like, wait, what? His name is Top Dollar? Oh my god. Come on, JJ Obar.
Michael Wincott.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah, that was the sword Michael Wincott used to kill the pawn shop owner.
Wow, that's awesome. Did they do that on purpose as a nod to Princess Bride?
It was like, oh, hey, look at this old prop we got lying around.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah.
We use this.
Hey, we're using the same prop guys from Princess Bride. Oh, is that why they fucking shot Brandon Lee? Is that why that bullet was in that goddamn gun? Because you guys are fucking ancient? Because you guys don't know what you're... Okay, well,
because they sent the firearm consultant home that day because they didn't think they were going to be doing any shooting that day.
There's a good point.
Department fucked up.
Yeah, well, at least we got the Princess Bride sword. You could throw that in there. All right, fine.
I feel really bad for the actor who pulled the trigger because he had no
Michael idea. Massey.
Yeah,
he just passed away not too long ago, a couple months ago, or a month ago. I was like super depressed when that happened too. He's in so many movies that I love, and I do actually feel bad for him every time I watch The Crow. I'm like, oh. Man, because he couldn't work for like a long time after that, just because he was so depressed over it. Like he lost his fucking mind to a degree. But he was awesome. He appeared in HBO's Carnival, and so that kind of solidifies him in the pantheon of awesome for me.
And he was in Seven.
Yeah, he was. He's in a lot of stuff. Playing God is one I definitely want to do. What am I watching about? Which David Duchovny, him, Timothy Hutton. Angelina Jolie.
Okay.
It's friggin' awesome. I mean, it's terrible, but it's awesome. Like, it's really terrible, Peter Stormare, but it is awesome. Like, this is straight awesome. I mean, even the stuff that we think might not hold up in this Princess Bride movie, awesome. This movie, fucking horrible, but great. You know what I mean? Like, I don't
so
know.
So bad, it's great.
Don't know how to describe it other than that. It's worth the watch. It's worth the watch, is what I'd say. Now, since we brought up, you know, Michael Massey, may he rest in peace. I actually was a big fan. He is another one of those people that goes on that list of, I thought I was going to get to meet him. I don't know why, but I thought I was.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
Actually,
Princess Bride.
They need to find a miracle pill like they found for...
Gotta make a miracle pill.
Wesley. Which was basically a giant thing covered in chocolate that they forced down a dead guy's throat.
makes it go down easier.
Chocolate coating makes it go down easier. And make sure he doesn't go in swimming for at least an hour. Good hour. A good hour.
And it's going to take a while for it to go into effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think it'll work?
Oh, they needed to wait at least a half hour from when they left there to give him the pill, too.
And of course, always, have fun storming the castle.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's the best.
I was dating somebody, and, you know, Sunday I started playing Dungeons & Dragons with some friends. Yeah, Dave the Clone Street Cred just, like, hit, like, super rock bottom out there, guys. I just heard it. I heard it as I said that out loud. And she used to say that, like, on Sundays because we couldn't hang out. Like, she would always be texting me in the morning, like, have fun storming the castle. And obviously, she was mocking me. I was just like, oh, that's cool. At least you know a movie reference works for this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they do wind up storming the castle.
They set Andre the Giant on fire.
Which they actually doubled the number of guards at the gate. There were a couple precautions being taken for the king's wedding here. One was the emptying of the thieves' forest, and one was the doubling of the gate number, the gate guard, which they thought was guarded by 30 men, but is now guarded by 60 men. They needed the Dread Pirate Roberts' mind, because that's really why they went to find him. They said, if he bested me with steel, he bested you with strength, he must have bested Vicini, and any man who can do that can plan my revenge any day. Which, that'd be a pretty badass reputation to have. This guy can plan your revenge.
Absolutely. Like,
full on,
I'd be okay with that.
Full on end your fucking people that you want to end.
How many people? There's what, three of us and your sword and his strength and me not be able to move? Yeah, no. If we get an apocalypse cloak. Well, look what I have.
Will this work? Oh, it fits so well. He said I can keep it.
All right.
What'd you do with the wheel? It's like in a wheelbarrow.
It's like, if we had a wheelbarrow, that would be something.
What did we do with the albino's wheelbarrow? Oh, it's with the albino.
Why didn't we list that amongst our assets in the first place?
Yeah, you know, minor details.
I went, oh, you wiggled your finger.
You just turned your head. Doesn't that make you happy? My brains, your strength, and his steel against 60 men. And you think a little head jiggle is supposed to make me happy? Yes, I pretty much have them all.
This also is one of my all-time favorite.
Are we gonna do it? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry, when Inigo goes in and gets confronted by the guards in the castle itself, and he just takes out six of them in about 3 seconds.
Oh yeah, and they're just
the one behind.
Yeah,
which was awesome. Just.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, you didn't even see any blood there. You don't even see blood with everything that happened until he actually confronts six-fingered man. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a man in black. We have a six-fingered man. The only thing this thing didn't have was a one-armed man. And then we would have had almost all of the mystery, you know, adventure, villainy trope kind of things going on. We had
an albino.
We had an albino. We had a wizard and a witch.
Yes.
Kings and queens, criminals,
and evil aristocrats.
Yeah. All the elements are there. And so, let's see. What happens first? They get in through the gates. They set. Yeah, that was awesome when they set Andre the Giant on fire.
He pretends to be the Dread Pirate Roberts.
I am the Dread Pirate Roberts. There will be no survivors. I am here. My men are here. Soon you will not be here. The Dread Pirate Roberts has come for your soul.
Okay, so I think Clone likes this movie even more than I do. So
yeah,
I feel like even though I'm not talking that much, it's being well talked about.
No, it's a weird thing. My former aunt, who is no longer my aunt through divorce now, but this is Cousin Evan's mom. She, when Evan was very little, would always say, she's like, he's just like you. He watches a movie and then he knows all the dialogue. It's like he just, and I don't know how I got that way. It's just something that happened. I mean,
I blame Barbarella.
Probably. Probably a good place to start. Barbarella. And everything else that I watched.
For those playing at home, you must not take a drink.
Seriously, seriously. Check episode 4. Is that what it was? Episode 4 of What Am I Watching? We were getting to Dave's inner demons very early in the series here. But yeah, this is just one of those. Plus, I don't know, maybe my school that I grew up going to, my elementary school, was a very unique place where just everybody, like, basically spoke in movie dialogue all day. Like, we all talked about movies all the time. Everybody saw everything, and if you didn't, you weren't, like, in the club.
You were the weird one.
Yeah, you were the outcast. So, I don't know. Maybe that also contributed to that feeling I had when I saw this, that, like, everybody watched it. Like, almost like we all went home and watched it the same day, because, like, within that week, we were all talking about it. And the same thing happened with Labyrinth.
Like, it might also still be very much a generational thing. Like, everybody I know around my age, all of us saw Star Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, all of us saw The Princess Bride. All of us saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off. All of us saw Highlander. We all saw these movies.
We're that generation that I think the Illuminati knew they were going to fuck over so hard. So, like, we're the ones that get all the inside jokes from the movies. Like, that's their gift back. Like, we did basically everything for you, Damien. It's all for you. So, it's just like, that's why when Deadpool is doing the Ferris Bueller thing at the credit scene, like, someone in the theater I was in was like, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you, seriously. Ferris Bueller, you stupid piece of shit. Like, I was so
doing
angry.
Lines from this, and there's two people at work that are a lot younger.
Oh, God.
And they're like, what is that from? And seriously, like, even the ones who weren't doing it, like, you can hear the record scratch, and everybody turned their head and look at these two girls. We're like, are you serious?
Are you serious?
Get the fuck out of here. Leave your apron and name tag on the side and get the fuck out of here. Like, oh, my God.
It took a good 5 minutes to come back from that. Like, nobody could talk because they're all like,
just put the goddamn music back on. Put the music back on and go back to work. Thanks, you fucking assholes. You just ruined everything. Literally, you should feel like shit. I hope you feel like shit. I'm looking at you saying feel like shit.
How do you not know this movie?
Well, it's like I saw a meme posted today on Facebook that was like all these tweets of these people going, who the fuck is Paul McCartney? And, like, I don't know who this Paul McCartney is, but he's probably going to get a huge, like, career after doing this song with Kanye.
Yeah, I see that.
And I'm like, kill yourself.
So it's not completely related. I have a coworker who said he'd never seen a John Woo film and wanted to know if I could recommend any. And I came very, very close to saying, oh, you really should go check out Hard Target.
Nice. JCVD.
I resisted. And I'm like, wait, are you sure you've never seen a John Woo film? Like, you've never seen Mission Impossible 2? You've never... It's like, oh, that was him. Like,
Face Off.
Face Off, Broken Arrow.
There's a lot of slow motion and birds flying through frames.
I actually did recommend Hard Boiled first.
Nice. Oh, he did Hard Boiled too, didn't he?
Oh, absolutely. That was his swan song.
Fuck.
Hong Kong. That was his last Hong Kong one that he did.
Yeah, man. Shit. I gotta watch
that. But then I recommended A Better Tomorrow and The Killer as well.
Nice. Nice. So. The Killer's awesome. I haven't watched any of those in a long time. I gotta find my chi flow, watch some of those shits again.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so
unrelated to the princess. How unrelated to the Princess Bride can I make?
That was a deep rabbit hole. That was a very deep rabbit hole, but it's all relevant because marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that blessed arrangement. That dream within a dream.
You know, they were selling shirts with that, and I was so close to buying them for my cousin and her husband for their wedding gift. Just because I made her watch it when she was little, and she's like, she loves it now. And I'm like, I should have totally bought those shirts.
Such a good movie. I can't believe that there are people who haven't seen it. Like, I'm still not over that.
I know. It's disturbing.
And I mean, Chris Sarandon, dude, we didn't even really talk about him too much. Fucking the guy from Fright Night, like the vampire from Fright Night, also as like an evil king. Oh, dude, so badass. And I remember
and Jack Skellington from Nightmare Before Christmas.
The speaking voice, the singing voice is actually Danny Elfman, though, right?
I don't know.
I thought that he was the speaking voice and that the singing voice was Danny Elfman.
Fire up the Google machine, because yeah, I don't have that.
I am looking right now.
While he's looking, we'll talk about Christopher Sarandon a bit.
I'll talk about how...
He was evil, but really laid back most of the time.
And kind of just like a chill dude. Like, he was like the most hands-off, like, oh, please.
And he was in Bordello of Blood.
Bordello of Blood. Yeah. Which was sort of like a nod to him being the vampire from Fright Night. He also had a cameo in the Colin Farrell remake of Fright Night.
Yes, he did.
Starring the late Anton Yelchik. Rest in peace.
Yes, Danny Elfman was the singing voice for Jack Skellington.
Fuck yeah! Score for Dave!
As well as Beryl and the Clown with the Tearaway Face.
Oh, really? I like the clown. That's
he also was the singer for Oingo Boingo and featured in Back to School, a future episode of What Am I Watching? Singing, It's a Dead Man's Party.
What? I did not know that.
Who could ask for more? Yeah, that's Danny Elfman. That's Oingo Boingo was his band. Everybody's gonna leave your body at the... It's like he was singing about the same shit back then. Singing about now. But yeah, so Chris Sarandon, when I was in college, I was responsible for introducing a lot of people to a lot of movies. A lot of different movies that I thought people should have seen. And people, especially there's this group of girls that my girlfriend freshman year was friends with that we would always do movie nights like on Thursdays and Sundays. And I had to beg them to watch Fright Night. And the only way I sold it was like, I'm like, did you see Princess Bride? Okay, the fucking bad guy who's going to marry Buttercup, he's the vampire. And I guarantee you it's going to be something that you like have no idea what to expect. And when you see it, you're going to love it. And like because of that, there's a scene in Fright Night where he, like, takes his shirt off because he's going to seduce the main female lead. And I remember one of the girls in the room was just like, whoa. Like, so pulled in. And when I, like, said at the end of the movie, I was like, what was that? She goes, well, it's like you said. Like, all I knew him from was Princess Bride. And then I saw him like this, and he's this, like, smooth-talking guy. And when he finally gets that chick, I mean, like... You know, that was a really sexy scene, and I'm like, word. Okay, well, I'm glad you liked the movie. But yes, Chris Sarandon has got some street cred, and part of that street cred is being this sort of, like, douchey, bitchy, one percenter entitlement trust fund baby who pulls a, you know, Commodus and, like, well, he didn't kill his father, he just waited for his father to die, right? Is that kind of what the deal is?
Well, his father didn't die yet.
It was in the dream that his father died.
Because,
shit.
You know, the little old man. He is the cutest little man. I just want to, like, put him in my pocket. He's adorable.
And he was investigating cop in Child's Play.
Oh, really?
the king?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
Mr. Andon.
Oh, I thought you meant the king.
No, sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Mean, just adorable because he's like, oh, she kissed
me. She kissed me. And she's like, I just wanted to say goodbye. I'm going to kill myself when I get to the bridal suite. Won't that be nice? You know, just like,
I am completely senile.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. What was that for? Like, oh my God.
But he was adorable.
Yeah.
Like, put him in your pocket when you need a little, you know, little cute grandpa moment. You just pull him out.
Little king troll.
He's hee-hee-hee. You just want him to, like, that little laugh. That's all.
She kissed me. So, yeah, pretty much. So once we're in the castle, we kind of know our good guys are going to win, but we get to see it all happen in phases. Inigo catches up with Count Rugen, kills
him. It was pretty...
That was a long brutal. Chase scene. That yes. was a long chase scene.
And getting... Inigo getting stabbed.
Yeah, he
gets the knife in the gut and gets stabbed in his arm.
It was like a sucker punch knife to the gut, too, right? Because it's like he ran way ahead of him and then turned around and waited. And then, like, I mean, basically what I would do in a video game, but, you know, fucking because bad guy does it to the hero in the movie, we're like, asshole, fuck you. How dare you try to win this? You're the bad guy.
You're supposed to die.
Just stand there and get killed like all the other peons in the movie. Come on.
And you just have Inigo repeating the same thing over and over, and it like kind of like fills him up and makes him
will like,
yes
yeah well first I mean like
you do not fuck with the Spaniard.
He gets stabbed in the stomach and he even says I'm sorry father, I tried, you know. It's like he's already kind of feels like he gave up, but then he still wasn't quite dead and the guy was going to come over and finish him, and he just does that thing where he pushes the sword away and it stabs him in one arm, then stabs him in the other arm, and then he starts to come back, like, as the words, every time he says the words.
And just to bring this back over to Gladiator, just because you stab a Spaniard does not mean he's out of the fight.
Yeah, seriously, that guy took so many hits before he finally died. Fought that whole last fight stabbed in the back.
Yep.
Just like our guy fought this whole fight stabbed in the front.
But apparently, he only said the line 6 times. I feel like it was a lot more, because it was, "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepared to die." And then they start, and then he just gets louder and, like, bump, stronger, and he's bump, lifting himself
bump,
up.
Bump, and it's like all the sword hits are hitting with the music, so it's like, boom, 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 boom. "Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya." Like, it just, they get more intense.
Yes.
Every time.
And it's like he's forgotten about the pain and the bleeding, and he's just, like, puffed himself up, and he's like, "I will kill you."
Yeah. And then when he finally turns the tide all around, and he, like, stabs him in the arm and cuts his face, and he's like, "Offer me women, offer me riches, offer me that," you know, and the guy's like,
offer me whatever I want.
"Offer me anything that I ask for.
All that I have and more.
I want my father back, you son of a bitch." And then he stabs him. And it's like everyone in the audience is like, "Yeah, man. Yeah." Or like, "Fuck you, you motherfucker. Yeah, man. Yeah." Something like that. So while that's going on and we're like, "Wow, Inigo almost died." You know who else almost died in this movie a little while ago? Wesley. Where's he at? Because he still can't walk yet. Like, when they left him, he was, like, strung up on a suit of armor. Like, just, like,
headed just up. Holding on, barely.
Like, everyone just left me here? Okay. Because Inigo needed Fezzik to knock down some doors for him so he could chase after the man in black, the six-fingered man. So when we do finally find him...
He's in the bridal suite.
It's what's-her-name discovers he's waiting in her bed, much like James Bond was in View to a Kill, or basically any other Bond movie there was. And, you know, she's like, "Oh my god, I can't believe you're still alive," and da da da, and they told me you died, and then she's like, "I got married." He goes, "No, you didn't. You didn't say it. You didn't do it." It's like he's got that back to Wesley the Scientist. Like, this is how it is. This is how the world works. I've been there, seen it. This is how we're doing this.
It's even more like Wesley the Lawyer. Like,
yeah.
"Did you say I do?" "No, it doesn't count."
Well, then you didn't do it. You didn't say it. You didn't do it. "Wouldn't you agree, Your Highness?" And then, like, you know, he saw the king come in behind her. And this is where we get to the pain.
To the pain.
Oh, my gosh. This is the best right here. Because it's so terrifying, because it's a psychological thing.
It's crazy.
I loved it. It's like, okay, what does that mean?
I'm like, not quite sure I'm familiar with that phrase. It's like, to the pain. Oh, I'll explain it.
First, take both of your eyes, and then your nose, and your tongue, and your feet, and your hands. Well, you know, and
first, it was your feet at the ankles.
I get it.
Your hands at the wrists. And then your eyes. He's like, okay.
And then your nose. My ears. No. Your ears, I will leave.
Perfect. Your ears you keep, and I will tell you why. So every babe that weeps... For every woman that cries out, "Dear God, what is that thing?" as you approach, can ring on forever in your perfect ears.
Seriously, does that not give you chills with that?
There's a little bit more to it than that.
But, I mean, if somebody was to say, basically, they're going to completely disfigure you.
Yeah.
And you are going to hear it for the rest of your life.
He's going to do to you what starts happening to Paul Dano's older version of himself in Looper. Like, shit just starts falling off that guy. I'm like, yeah, that's to the pain right there, man. Damn. And your ears you keep, and I'll tell you why. Oh, wait. He goes, "I don't think anyone's ever spoken to me like that before." It's possible, pig. He's like, next I'll cut out your tongue.
You have the strength to get up.
Then I'll cut off your nose. Yes, and then my ears. I understand. Let's get on with it.
I just love how he kind of took him down a couple notches with that. Because, again, like I said, that's terrifying. If somebody is telling you this is what they're going to do, would you not be like, especially being the prince and probably like not really have any training?
Yeah, yeah, like, we didn't see him. We didn't see any training thing. Like,
more to the point, I thought I had killed you.
Yeah, how are you still
back?
And then he's like, "It's possible. I don't even have the strength to stand up, or do I?" And then he stands up, and we have the like Superman rising from the dead victory music. And then he like stands up and raises the sword. He goes, "Drop your sword," and like. I think Chris Randon's like genius because he's like basically frozen, and then you just hear the sword at the ground, you know. And he goes, "Have a seat." And he just like lifts up his like skirt, kind of.
It just like, pops down. Yeah.
Why? Yes, yes, I will sit. Thank you.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. Thank you. I'm like, tie him up. Oh, that's a bit tight. Well.
And then like then that's when Fezzik or that's when Inigo finds the bridal suite, and. He's like, "Where's Fezzik?" And he's like, "I thought it was you. I thought it was with you." Oh, and then you know, he almost falls, and she's like, he's like, "Oh, quickly help him." And she goes, why does Wesley need help? He goes, "Because he has no strength." And then Humperdinck's like, "Ha ha, I knew he was bluffing. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing." As like a sword appears in his face. I love
please
that.
Don't stab me.
He like doesn't ever change. Like it's like his character, like, I don't know. And that's the thing about this movie. Like the characters were like perfectly toned to the end, you know what I mean? Like everything about it was like really well balanced, you know.
And you have Fezzik outside all of a sudden with the horses.
In we go. I just happened to know what window you would be at. Yeah, I was looking for you, and I saw these four white horses. I thought there are four of us if we ever find the lady. Hello, lady.
Hello, pretty lady.
And he's like, "Fezzik, you finally did something right." Like, aww.
You're not a complete fuck-up. Congratulations. Aww.
Everybody's having a great day. This is the best day ever.
Except for... Well, maybe not Humperdinck and Rugen.
Well, Rugen, no, but Humperdinck was allowed to live somehow.
Humiliated.
Truth.
I love the slow fall, though, too, out of the window. And, you know, Fezzik catches him. It's like, oh, I've got you, no problem.
Yeah. And then, what's it called? I also like Inigo going, well, you know, now that I got Count Rugen, I don't really know what to do. I've been in the revenge business so long, I have no idea what to do with the rest of my life. And you kind of get the impression that he's going to become the new Dread Pirate Roberts. That's what the Dread Pirate Roberts does, is pass along his identity. And he's like, "Oh, that wasn't even the real Dread Pirate Roberts I got it from. His name was Cumberbund."
Benedict Cumberbatch, what?
Yeah, some along those lines.
Yeah, no.
Great grandfather there. So, yes, and then when we cut back, the grandfather is going to, he's like, "Yeah," and then that's the end of the story. And he's like, no, wait, is there any more? He goes, well, it's kissing and stuff. You don't want to see that. He goes, you know, I guess I don't mind it. So even the little kid grew up during this telling of the story.
And the epic ending, both on the horseback with the beautiful scenery and the kiss and the song Storybook Love playing. It was perfect. It was such
like
a girl
a
moment.
Fairy tale story. Yeah, like the song comes on. It's very 80s. I thought it was the same guy who did, is it Midnight in Memphis or Walking in Memphis? I was walking in Memphis. I thought it was that guy, but I don't think it is.
I don't think that's the same guy. Because I was actually, you guys can laugh at me about this later.
You had the soundtrack, didn't you?
I was going to have that as my wedding song.
Oh, why didn't you? It's a good song to pick up.
We didn't end up doing the big thing. We just did a house.
Awkward. Instant awkward. Dave, good question.
Nicely done.
Well, if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be me. That's how this happens.
No, I love that one. That and there was one more that was actually at the end of 10th Kingdom. Yeah, I was weird. I was going to do both of those. So
I did not watch 10th Kingdom.
That's amazing.
But anyway, that was The Princess Bride. When I was your age, TV was called books. I used to turn to my mom like, "Can I watch some books later?" And it's like, "Yeah, I'm totally not picking up what they're putting down with that. That's the one thing I was too young for." I was like, "Yeah, I'm not really getting that analogy, but now I do."
There you go.
Hope this has been a fun ride for y'all. Is there any favorite moment? We basically did almost every moment.
It's the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
This one we should be selling on Patreon, I think. That's what we should be doing with this episode. An awful lot of impersonations going out there for free. But
and the guys going down the rabbit hole.
It's because we love you guys. It's because we love you guys. That's why.
It's what we do.
But you might be hearing that Patreon word a lot more as we go into year two of the Hollow Nine here. So be prepared, you know. Check out some movies. We may even be posting what movie we're doing ahead of time so you could watch it before we even do the episode. Wouldn't that be something smart or special? It's definitely too late, but when you've got all that money that came in those Christmas cards and those holiday cards for you, and you're like, what am I going to spend this shit on? Oh my god, I need a new travel mug. Go to our Redbubble store and check out some of our stuff. Your favorite Hollow Nine artwork can be yours in many different forms, so that'll be awesome, too.
Yay.
Anything going on you guys want to plug away? What's going on at the Fangirl Zone, Sean?
We're still plugging away with all the stuff on Sci-Fi, because Sci-Fi has had some amazing shows lately.
Oh, speaking of which, do you know who just followed me on Twitter today?
Who?
What's his name? I should have already had it open.
We don't know. That's why we're replaying
this. He played Ando on Heroes. James Kyson.
Oh, really?
So I know he's got like a pilot that's going to be kicking off on Sci-Fi soon, so... Little conduit action there. Maybe we can bring him over to the Hollow Nineverse or to the Fangirl Zone and see if we can get him to chat on the air a bit.
Yes, that would be awesome. And Jess and I just wrapped Dirk Gently, so I'll be putting all those up.
Dirk Gently. How was that?
I loved the show.
Have you seen all these, like, a million new shows that have been dropping on Netflix that we all need to watch immediately? Like Glitch and... 3% and Black Mirror. If you haven't watched Black Mirror yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. That shit is insane.
Dude, I'm still finishing Luke Cage.
I haven't even started. I'm still finishing Daredevil Season 2, so who am I to talk?
Yeah, we kind of skipped that and ended up going to Luke Cage, which, if you haven't watched Luke Cage, amazing soundtrack.
God damn it.
I love the music in it.
I feel like I need to watch Jessica Jones just to see his first mention and first introduction, but... All right, well, there's going to be a lot.
Like the first two episodes for that.
You did of Jessica Jones or of Luke Cage?
Yeah. No, just Jessica Jones.
And after the second episode, you see Luke Cage? And then I can jump over to Luke Cage.
Yes.
Because
he shows up more episodes than that.
Yeah.
But.
You need to watch all of Jessica Jones.
God damn it. And I just bought Suicide Squad. Still haven't seen that yet. So
I have not seen that yet either.
Clone has a lot of TV he's going to be watching over his little winter break.
Yeah, now that I know. How about you, Gomez, not Adams? Anything you got you want to throw our way, plug away?
There's going to be a new anthology coming out probably this week as we're recording. So by the time this drops, it should already be out, called Altered States 2, cyberpunk anthology, which will be available on Amazon.
Featuring work by yours truly?
Yes, I have a short story in there.
Awesome.
You can also check out New Realm magazine, which you can also find on Amazon. Last two issues for November and December both had a story of mine in it.
Nice.
So definitely check that out as well.
Awesome.
And you can also check out Phase 2, PHASE2 magazine, also available through Amazon. And the last couple of issues of that have also had work by me. So.
Dear Lord.
He's been busy.
Prolific. Stephen King, watch your back, man.
Yeah, I did complete NaNoWriMo.
That's right. You and Liz should do a follow-up to that, like a follow-up episode.
Where she could bitch about not finishing.
Yeah, did she not finish?
She didn't finish. And I can kind of rub her face in it a little bit.
Yes, you absolutely, you have to do this.
I like Liz. And she was like, why have we never podcasted before? I'm like, because you do like fucking shit, and all I do is what am I watching?
So you gotta.
That's fine.
Meet in the middle somewhere, and
we'll figure something else to do down the line.
Nice.
But I'll be hopefully looking at that probably middle of January to whip that into some semblance of shape.
Awesome.
And get some other people to get some other eyes on it.
Nice. Awesome. All right, guys, check out Gomez Not Adams' work out there. And as always, keep your ears and eyes on the Hollow Nine pages in all their various forms and varieties. There's a little bit of business coming up in a minute that'll tell you where those all are. Join in the conversation. Hit us up at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll see you guys in 2017. Hope you had a great... Oh, no, none of us had a great 2016. So let's just let's pretend we're all being reborn and we're starting over new.
Ride or survive 2017.
Yes, yeah. Ride or die, bitches. That's the name of the game. Ride.
Giant meteor.
Ride or die. But until then, I'll be home for Christmas. Adios.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow Nine Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.